of being at church on Sundays and other days also. But it's a great day to be here. You know, I was confused the other day. My wife and I are celebrating an anniversary tomorrow, and we went out to eat, and somebody said, "How long have you been married?" My wife said, 5 wonderful years. And I'm doing the math going, "Honey, we've been married 18. She said, "I know, I answered correctly, 5 wonderful years." So, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will... You are awake very much. Thank you. Thank you very much for that. Open your Bibles to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, and we just heard the song called Psalm 23. What a beautiful song that is to me. We'll read through Psalm 23. And I know at different times, here we've done studies on Psalm 23. We've covered it in scriptures and sermons and different things. But Psalm 23, I just want us to look at it slightly different. And I want us just to pay very close attention as the Olympians would, as we should, and say, "Lord, when I'm not where I should be, what is it that I'm doing or not doing? Or what is it that's making me do or not do that? What's preventing me from doing something that I should be or preventing me from stopping something?" In Psalm 23 in the Old Testament is a psalm of David, written by David. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This should be a psalm that comforts us, that brings peace to us. I know a lot of times this is read at funerals. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And it's, you know, a psalm that's read sometimes for those that have passed on. Sometimes it's a psalm read for the ones left behind here on earth. "Man, I'm going through this valley. I need some help. I need some support, Lord." So we're going to break this down just a little bit by the verses, and we're going to look at some different issues with it. We're going to look at some different areas of it. In verse 1 through 3 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Again, I'm going to refer to the music stand back here for a minute, because we sang a song today that said, "Rich or poor, God, I want you more than anything that glitters in this world. Be my all-consuming fire." And it says, "We have all we need in you. All we need is you." And that's what we have to remember. I'll never forget a Ground Zero message I did years ago, and it talked about the prison of want. We'll talk about that briefly today, but the prison of want. And I tried to talk about my bunkie when I was in my jail cell. And then I had to clarify, I wasn't really in jail, guys. I was in the prison of want. So to clarify, in case anyone catches that, I think our pastor was in jail. I've never been there. Okay? But I was using that as a picture to show the young people, when you have want, it's in a prison. And again, we'll talk about that briefly. But it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," because he's all we need. "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness." Why? For his name's sake. Now, I've watched many videos about poor dumb sheep. And we are poor dumb sheep, the Bible tells us. And we don't know any better a lot of times. And we need a shepherd to guide us, and sometimes to poke us and to prod us and to get us where we need to go. And one guy was out on a farm, and he said, "Well, this isn't a big deal. You know," he said, "well, it's time for the sheep to eat. Call them." So he's hollering at the sheep, top of his lungs. The sheep aren't coming. They aren't doing anything. And then, kind of like Babe the Pig, if you have the right language, the owner, the shepherd, says, "Time to eat, sheep, come on." You know, whatever he says. He calls them in just a low tone, and here they come. It's because God's word says, the sheep know the sound of the shepherd's voice. We talked about that 3 years ago, as a matter of fact. When Pastor Jack left in my first Sunday standing here in front of you, I said, I thought I had a scary job. But I thought you guys are the ones that really had the bigger struggle. Because those that have been here a long time had to learn the sound of the new shepherds. Pastor Eric and myself. You see, you were used to the voice of the shepherd, Pastor Jack. But as he moved on, now you've got to learn two new voices. And so I selfishly turned it into, oh, poor pitiful me. And then I thought, oh my Lord, that's a horrible way to start off. And I thought, the sheep have to learn the sound of a new shepherd. So in this it says, the Lord is my shepherd. David says, he acknowledges him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I have everything I have in Jesus Christ. And it talks about lying down in green pastures. When sheep are worried, they're not going to lay down. It's like a dog being excited about somebody being there or an intruder or whatever. They're not at rest. They're not going to lie down until they're at peace. And the sheep, when they lie down in the green pastures, is when they're at peace. And they feel peace in their life. He leads me beside the still waters. Not still waters, up there, like OU. Leads me beside the still waters. And sheep also don't like fast running water that's crazy and whatever. Gets them all nervous and jumpy. They like the still waters of little brooks and streams. It says he leads me beside them. He restores my soul. And he leads me in paths of righteousness. And again, why? For his name's sake. He tells us where we need to go. He'll lead the sheep. So there's four things I want to point out to you today. The first one is, the shepherd, Jesus Christ, is your provider. The shepherd is your provider. The Lord is, he makes, he leads, he restores, he leads again. Why? All for his name's sake. So he provides for us. Remember last week the story about the guy that was very busy in life and he wanted to relax just a little bit? So he went off to the monastery to find some peace and serenity. And the monk came up and said, if you need anything, just let us know and we'll tell you how to do without. It's the same thing. God said, man, let me know what you need and I'll tell you how to do without it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Want is the prison. I was talking to the poor young people around. I even had someone a month later come up. Now, when you were in prison, I said, I wasn't really there. I explained that night. But want is a prison that some of us are in. And some of us, because we have want and it's so bad in our life, we're serving a life sentence. Maybe you know someone that's serving a life sentence in a prison of want. Listen, if you don't have joy in your life, we've talked about joy many times here from the pulpit before, and it's different than being happy. But if you don't have joy in your life, more than likely it's because you're still wanting something and you're not happy because you don't have it. For some, it's marriage. For some, it's to be out of a marriage. Healing, a promotion, a raise. I want kids. I want the kids out. Jobs, vehicles, money, money, money. Those are all wants. And it's one thing to have goals and aspirations. It's another thing to have those as selfish ambitions that I want this just for myself. It's always good to have goals and shoot for more. Romans 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We've got to get out of ourselves. When we get busy, when we get started for Jesus Christ, it's getting out of ourselves and it's getting beyond ourselves. And we don't have to do that anymore when we get out of ourselves. Verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your rod and staff comfort me. When I visited my nephew at the After his graduation, we went back to the hotel for a little bit. He got to go off base for a few hours. And they have a little map and says, you cannot go beyond these places. The graduates could not drive. I don't have my phone on me, thank goodness. But they said, you cannot walk and talk on a cell phone. You cannot get out of that uniform, change, and then change back into it to come back on base. You remain in that entire uniform. So all these restrictions. I thought, no walking and talking on a cell phone. It'd be good to teach that to many people, not just the graduates of that boot camp. But I said, what was one of the toughest things for you? He said, oh man, the discipline. The discipline was tough. I said, did you get to take naps? He said, you had to be real sneaky about that. Had to watch where you took it. I said, did you take any? He said, yeah, I took a nap. Did you get caught? He said, oh yeah, I got busted. He said, I was over in the corner, and when the drill sergeant comes in, they all holler something. So he figured, if I say this is the day the Lord has made, you guys all shout out, we will rejoice and be glad in it. That's what they're supposed to do. Drill sergeant walked in and went, and it was quiet, and he walked over and poked him with his rod and staff, I'm guessing, you know, and it woke him up. But I said, was there punishment? He said, oh yeah. He said, I had to go out and drop and give him 50 push-ups right there. He said, it was hard. I mean, first of all, I just woke up, you know. But I said, do you understand how important discipline is, though, from your mom giving it to you and those different things? He said, oh yeah. He said, their discipline are what make you and prove you to be in a right frame of mind and to sharpen you. Now, of course, there's the harassment that goes on there, but he understood that. And so I thought about that as I was rereading this. And as he was telling me, I thought, his rod and his staff, they're used to guide and lead and correct the sheep. And correct sometimes it's a poking and jabbing and catching them and dragging them along. But it says, they comfort me. They comfort me. And we should be comforted by the fact that Jesus Christ loves us enough to correct us. And remember his grace and mercy when he should correct us. Sometimes he just gives us a little pass. I haven't told anyone but my wife so far. But on the way into town, my brother kept harassing me because I was doing the speed limit. Well, the food bank is just down the street from 29th and Meridian. There's a work zone there. For the record, it's 30 miles an hour through there. One of our finest Oklahoma City police officers pulled me over and told me so. I thought, you know, I've done the speed limit this whole trip, and then here I am a mile from the food bank, and I get pulled over and get a ticket. But here's what I got. I got a pass on not getting the work zone fine, because that's expensive. But I still got what I deserved, a ticket. I thought, oh, there's a good lesson in there for somebody. Oh, yeah, me. But I thought, God does the same thing. Sometimes he doesn't give us the full discipline that we deserve, but he still gives us just a little bit. So I got a nice ticket, but I didn't get the fancy ticket of the work zone violation. And God does the same thing. He says, I'm going to give you a little pass, but you still got to pay for what you did. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. So number two, he comforts. Number one was he provides. Number two is he comforts. In verse 5 it says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Man, we were able to partake of the table that he set before us just minutes ago in front of our enemies. And I'm not talking about you guys as the enemy. I'm just talking about we are free to do that in America. We are free to do that. And he provides a table, or he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. I want us to listen and get this, because I feel the need to say this. And I'll just say it as gently as I can. I just think if you have a cup and you do not see, if you are living for God and you do not see that cup running over, I think you need to look how you're holding it and how you're handling it. Okay? Well, I won't slosh grape juice all over our carpet, but when you have that, I feel like the Lord fills that cup up. And if you're walking around doing this, and you've seen people before doing that, hey man, and it's sloshing all over everyone around them and all over the floor, and they're making a mess out of things. Or they pick it up. Hey, what time is it? Oh, dumps over. If you don't have your cup running over, and you are a Christ follower, something's wrong there, and I think you're probably holding that cup wrong. Sloshing it around, making a mess of what He has poured out for you and given to you, and taking what He's given you, and you've just abused it. Never satisfied, looking elsewhere to be filled up. Young people, don't think for a second. Trying to go to where most of our young people are. Here and there. Oh, you got people ducking, bobbing, and weaving all around them. No, Cindy, you just had a birthday. You don't fit anymore, okay? You're over 21 now, honey. Young people, don't think for a minute that this doesn't pertain to you. This absolutely pertains to you. And it's probably no more important than you guys get it than for the adults. Because at your young age, He is still pouring into your cup. And it should be filled. You should be able to see what He's pouring in there. Rather than saying, this is all I have, grape juice? I wanted lemonade. I wanted some milk. I want some water. And to me, that's another way of just looking at it, never satisfied with what He's filled up. Because He's given you and each one of us what we need for the life He has planned for us. Now let's just say He did pour us out some milk. And we set it, let's just say, out back in this heat. We go back to get a little drink maybe a month later. Yeah, that milk's not going to be so good. Point being, we've got to use what God has given us in a timely manner. Those gifts He has given us and poured out to us, we have to use those. We want to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We have to use those gifts He's given us. Be careful what you're doing with the cup that He has poured into. Stop looking around. So point number three, He prepares. He prepared a table for us, and He's filling up our cup. Then as we close, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Man, I love that. Just the confidence David has to say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Now again, I think sometimes goodness and mercy is following us and we're slamming the door every chance we get behind us. I don't know what that is behind me, but we just keep slamming doors and flinging stuff in the way. Man, it's goodness and mercy, and sometimes that looks different than we think it should. He pursues us. Point number four, He pursues us. With His goodness and mercy shall follow me. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 11, He says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Jesus calms His sheep down if they will listen and follow Him. Today, I'm telling you, if you'll listen and follow Him, He will be able to calm you down. He will be able to provide that green pasture and peace for you to lay down in. He will take you away from the roaring rapids that scare you. And He'll lead you beside still waters. He will restore your soul. And He will lead you in the paths of righteousness. You don't have anything to fear. When He corrects you, you'll find comfort in that. Maybe today you're feeling like you need your hope to be restored. Maybe your soul is not calm and you need some calm in your soul. You think, man, I'm not prepared for this. I'm ill-equipped, or I'm not equipped at all. I'm not equipped at all to understand this, to comprehend it, and to make these changes. and you think, man, I need to follow somebody. I need to follow somebody, and I need to follow somebody out of here, and I need to quit leading myself. Man, it's a shepherd you need to call on today. In time, you'll learn to recognize his voice. You may have heard his voice and just simply ignored it. You ever hear the kids in the stores? Mom, 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 mom. Are you kidding me? They don't hear that? I think sometimes the good shepherd is doing that. Sheep, 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 sheep. Do you hear me, sheep? And we just ignore that. You'll learn to recognize his voice over time, but he already knows your voice. And he already knows your needs, but he still wants you to call on him. So today's your opportunity just to call on him and say, I need some help. Man, life's just kind of a jumbled mess right now. I'm in the Olympics of life. Had some ups and downs. It'd be great if I was on the even bars, but man, I'm on the uneven parallel bars. And when I flew from one to the other, man, I just dropped straight to the ground. Did a couple cartwheels on the way, and I hit hard, and I'm hurting. Today, as we go into prayer, think about this. It opens up in Psalm 23 and says, the Lord is my shepherd. Do you respond, the Lord is my shepherd, or do you respond, the Lord is a shepherd? And that makes a difference in where you are in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Man, he's the good shepherd, but I haven't called him mine yet. Let's pray today. Heavenly Father, today we pray that just this simple psalm brings peace to those here today, those listening today. God, that you could lead us out of want. You could lead us out of ourself. You could comfort us, protect us, prepare for us, pursue us. But today, Lord, may we find peace in you. Lord, as we know you pour out into our cup, if we've mishandled it, help us. Help us to see how we're mishandling that cup. So in time we can say, my cup runs over. My cup is full because of Jesus Christ. I no longer look at it as empty or wishing I had something different in it, but I accept what you've given me in it. And I use that. And I find peace in that. Today I just ask us to call on the name of Jesus Christ for peace, for transformation, to help us get started, to help us improve our posture, or just to help us where we fall short. Lord, just like the Olympians, we want to come back and we want to be victorious. And we know that nobody is victorious without trials and tribulations. And you tell us in your word that those things strengthen us. Well, help us today to find strength as we go through those things. And help lift us up out of those things. In Jesus' name, amen.